Right now, the holiest site in all of Christianity is locked shut. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the place where Christians have venerated the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus for nearly 1700 years, has been closed for weeks. No masses, no pilgrims, no processions. The great doors that have been opened for worship century after century are sealed shut, and it may stay closed through Easter. This has never happened before, not during the Crusades, not during either World War, not even during COVID. But here's what most people don't realize. This isn't just a famous old church. There is serious, compelling evidence that this is the actual location of the empty tomb. And just last year, archaeologists found something beneath the church that directly confirms a detail from the Gospel of John. In this video, I'm going to walk you through that evidence and tell you what's happening on the ground right now in Israel and address the more sensational headlines trying to tie all of this to the Antichrist. Let's get into it. A lot of Christians, especially Protestants, picture a serene little garden with a rock-cut entrance when they think of the tomb of Jesus. That's actually the Garden Tomb, and I've actually been there, okay? It's beautiful. I get the appeal. But virtually no serious archaeologist or historian today considers it a credible candidate. It was identified in 1883 by a British general, based mostly on a skull-shaped rock formation nearby. The tomb even dates to the Iron Age, centuries before Christ. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre has a vastly stronger claim. The reason isn't pious tradition alone, it's an unbroken chain of memory backed by converging archaeological evidence. Think about this. The earliest Christians in Jerusalem knew where Jesus was crucified and was buried. This wasn't some obscure location that in the middle of nowhere that no one knew about. Joseph of Arimathea's tomb was right there, just outside the city walls, and the community remembered. Now, around 135 AD, the Roman Emperor Hadrian built a pagan temple, a temple to Venus, directly on top of that site. Why? Well, specifically to suppress the Christian veneration already happening there. But in doing so, he accidentally preserved that location for future generations. He basically put a giant pin on the map for us to look at. Nice work, Hadrian. But now fast forward to 326 AD, Constantine's mother, Helena, comes to Jerusalem and asks the local Christian community, where was Christ buried? They point her to the exact spot under Hadrian's temple. Constantine then demolishes the pagan shrine and builds the original Church of the Holy Sepulchre directly over the rock-cut tomb. So the chain runs eyewitnesses to local community, to Hadrian's temple as a marker, to Constantine's basilica, to today. Nearly 2,000 years of continuous identification. Now, one objection to the Holy Sepulchre goes like this. The church is inside of the old city, but Jesus was crucified outside of the gates, so doesn't that disqualify it? Actually, the opposite is true. In Jesus' time, this area was outside of the city walls. The current old city walls date to the 1530s, the Ottoman period. Excavations have confirmed that the Holy Sepulchre site was outside the second wall of first century Jerusalem, exactly as scripture requires. John 19:20 says that the crucifixion was near the city, and Hebrews 13:12 says Jesus suffered outside of the gate. So this objection actually backfires. Nobody inventing a site centuries later would have placed it inside of the walls. They'd know that that contradicted the Gospels. The site was remembered before the walls moved. It's almost like accusing someone of faking a photo because the background doesn't match, and then realizing that the background changed, not the photo itself. Also important is that the old city is actually a very small place. If you go there, it's really small. We're not talking about this vast metropolitan area. It's not likely that the tomb of Jesus just somehow got lost in this small area. Excavations beneath the church have also revealed that this area was originally a limestone quarry converted into a burial ground, exactly the kind of place that a wealthy man, like, say, Joseph of Arimathea, would have cut a new tomb. First century rock-cut tombs have been found in the church complex itself, and the rocky outcrop identified as Golgotha is a visible, elevated formation right next to the Garden Cemetery. So the geology, the archaeology, the location, the continuous tradition, it all converges in one direction. But what was discovered last year takes this to another level completely. Okay, so here's the discovery that I've sort of been alluding to. And by the way, I've covered this in more in depth in a previous video, which you can watch here if you're interested. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre is jointly administered by six Christian denominations under an arrangement called the Status Quo, dating back to 1757. If you don't know what the Status Quo is, let me put it this way, okay? There's literally a wooden ladder that's been sitting on the ledge outside the church since at least the 1750s because no denomination can agree whose job it is to remove it. That's the status quo. That's what we're working with. But in 2019, the three central communities, the Orthodox Patriarchate, the Custody of the Holy Land, and the Armenian Patriarchate, somehow agreed to a major restoration that required opening the basilica floor. It was the first significant renovation since 1808, and for the first time in nearly two centuries, archaeologists got access to what's underneath the church. The dig has been led by Professor Francesca Romana Stasola of Sapienza University in Rome, starting in 2022. Her team uncovered layer after layer, going back to the Iron Age, pottery, oil lamps, burial sites, the quarry itself. But the headline finding is this. Through archaeobotanical and pollen analysis of soil samples from beneath the church floor, the team identified preserved remains of olive trees and grape vines dating to approximately 2,000 years ago, pre-Christian era. The area had transitioned from quarry to cultivated agricultural land before becoming a burial site. In other words, in the time of Jesus, this spot was a garden adjacent to tombs, outside of the city walls. Now open your Bibles to John 19:41. Quote, "Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid." When I first read about this discovery, I had to put my phone down for a second. John is the only gospel that mentions a garden at the crucifixion site. Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't include that detail. And now at the very site tradition has pointed to for 1700 years, archaeologists have confirmed it was a cultivated garden with olive trees and grapevines in the first century. They even found low stone walls dividing garden plots and evidence of fig trees. The owner would have been upper class, consistent with Joseph of Arimathea being described as a rich man. I mean, come on. Like, but okay, I want to be careful about this. This does not prove the resurrection. Okay, no archaeological find is going to do that. But it confirms a specific testable detail from John's gospel at the exact site Christians have venerated from the beginning. It tells us John's author had accurate knowledge of first century Jerusalem, exactly what you'd expect from an eyewitness. When you combine the garden evidence with the quarry, with the first century tombs, the wall evidence, and the unbroken chain of tradition, the cumulative weight of this evidence is, let's just put it, formidable. Okay, this is almost certainly the right place, which is why what's happening right now is so devastating. On February 28th, 2026, following the U.S.-Israel strikes against Iran, the Israeli Civil Administration ordered all major holy sites in Jerusalem's Old City closed. The Western Wall, the Temple Mount, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, everything. Now, the security concerns here are real. Okay, Iranian missile fragments have literally landed inside the Holy Sepulchre compound. Ambassador Huckabee pointed out that a large piece of an Iranian missile hit the courtyard, and that if the site had been full of worshipers, mass casualties would have followed. So there is a legitimate security concern here. So I'm not going to sit in my studio in Texas and assign blame. Like, the situation is very complex. I'm not going to pretend that it's simple. All of the holy sites are closed, Jewish, Christian, and Muslim. But the timing is what makes this so acute for Christians. Look, the church has been closed for public worship for nearly 3 weeks straight. According to Vatican News, the great doors have never remained shut this long in the church's entire history. Even during COVID, clergy could still go inside and celebrate liturgies, but not this time. Lenten masses have been canceled. Via Dolorosa processions have been stopped. The rhythm of prayer that Catholic, Orthodox, and Armenian communities have maintained for centuries has gone, unfortunately, silent. And Holy Week begins March 29th. That's just over a week away from now. Church leaders are urgently negotiating with Israeli police for at least clergy-only services, at least that, similar to the pandemic. But as of today, nothing is confirmed. Pope Leo XIV has firmly called for a ceasefire. And I want to echo that call here on this video. Whatever your politics, whatever your view of this conflict, Christians should be united in calling for peace. The Holy Father is 100% right about this. This war needs to end, not just so that the Holy Sepulchre can reopen, but because people are literally dying on every side. The missiles falling on Jerusalem aren't just threatening these ancient sites, they're threatening families. Now, if that's frightening to you, you're not alone, but some people online are taking this somewhere much darker, and they're getting the theology completely wrong in the process. If you've been following this story online, you've probably seen the headlines, viral aggregators, prophecy channels, mainstream tabloids, all running with a version of something like site of Jesus' crucifixion shut down, an unprecedented move tied to biblical prophecies of the Antichrist. And look, it's very obvious why that stuff gets clicked. It taps into a real feeling a lot of Christians have right now that the world is sort of spiraling, but the theology here just doesn't hold up. And I think it's worth taking at least a minute or so to explain why. The passage that these outlets are alluding to is 2 Thessalonians 2, where Paul writes about the quote, man of lawlessness who takes his seat in the temple of God. Many Protestants in the dispensationalist tradition connect this to some future Antichrist figure, but look at the actual text. It says temple, the Jewish temple, not the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which didn't exist when Paul wrote this. Paul's language draws on Daniel and the desecration by Antiochus Epiphanes in 168 BC. The abomination of desolation is a temple concept. It has nothing to do with the wartime closure of a Christian church. So at the most basic exegetical level, these headlines are connecting a text about a Jewish temple to a temporary security closure of a Christian church. That is not how biblical interpretation works. That's someone scrolling Twitter at 2 a.m. and connecting dots that simply aren't there. The Catholic approach to eschatology is far healthier here. You don't have to be Catholic to accept these views. The Catechism teaches that the church will pass through a final trial in paragraph 675. It acknowledges a supreme religious deception associated with the Antichrist, but it places this in a framework of vigilance and hope, not newspaper eschatology. As St. Augustine pointed out centuries ago, every single generation has been tempted to identify the Antichrist with whatever crisis is dominating their moment, and every generation has been wrong. Now, here's what I think the deeper issue is. The reason dispensationalist eschatology keeps stumbling all over itself in moments like this is because it doesn't have a theology of the church that can make sense of suffering. Look, if you think the church gets raptured out before the real trouble starts, and when the trouble actually arrives, when the doors of the holiest church in the world are literally shut, you don't know what to do with it except to reach for the Antichrist. But Catholicism has always understood that the church will suffer, that access to holy things can be taken away, that we are a pilgrim people, and sometimes the road to Jerusalem gets blocked. The Catholic framework doesn't panic at any of this. It grieves, it prays, and it trusts that the gates of hell will not prevail. That's not naivete, that's a theology that was built for moments exactly like this one. So if those headlines are scaring you, they shouldn't, you just need to take a breath. The closure of the Holy Sepulchre is a tragedy worth mourning, but it's not a sign of the Antichrist. It's a sign that war is hell. And the Christian response is prayer, charity, and solidarity, not panic. So I want to do something I don't often do in these videos. I want to invite you to pray with me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we bring before you the Holy Land, the place where you walked, where you suffered, where you died, and where you rose. We pray for the Christians of Jerusalem. We pray for the Jewish people and the Muslim people who are in that space. We pray for an end to this war and for the safety of civilians on every side. And Lord, we ask that the doors of the Holy Sepulchre be opened again and that your people might gather at the tomb that could not hold you and celebrate once more the victory that changed the world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son. So if you want to help, links to the Latin Patriarchate and the Custody of the Holy Land are in the description. My previous video on the Garden Discovery is also linked there as well. Now, this is still developing. If something changes before Easter, I'll be sure to update you guys. Subscribe so you don't miss out on that. And also share this video, not for the algorithm or because of the channel, but because most Christians have actually no idea that this is happening. Oh, and by the way, Christianity is true.